This is an ABC podcast.
Have you ever just sat there while your doctor tried to explain some test results and your eyes just glazed over? You can't remember which one's the good cholesterol, and that scan they're pointing at might as well be a weather map for all the sense it makes. But what if your doctor could show you where the problem really was? What if they could actually take you there to your gallstones or your blood vessels or wherever things aren't right? Well, they can't. You're too big. But what if they could take you there on a virtual trip? Associate Professor John McGee from UNSW told us a couple of years ago about the work his team is doing with VR headsets to try and bridge the gap between our eyes and our deep insides.
The year was 1987, and I was 11 years old, and I went to see the feature film Inner Space. It's about a craft that gets miniaturized with its pilot to the size of a grain of sand and injected into a hapless cashier, Jack Putter. And in that moment, it was transformative. It's triggered two passions in me. The first, understanding how the body works. And secondly, cinema. Cinema defined the 20th century. It was one of those experiences that we can all relate to. We enter a room with friends and family, the lights go off, a moving image is projected onto the wall or the front of the theatre. It takes us to incredible places, the past, the present, the future, utopias, dystopias. But I pose a question for you. Has cinema reached its journey's end? The 21st century is about disruption. It's about new ways of seeing, new ways of entertainment and experiencing that are much more distributed and are much more personalised. In fact, we're actually entering a revolution right now that we don't probably know about, but I do. And it's affecting all of my work. And that's the headset VR revolution. VR is not like cinema. It's an embodied 360-degree experience. You're in the moment. You dwell on a situation. Now, VR is not for the few. It's going to be for the many. It will be ubiquitous. They will be everywhere, VR headsets. And I'm not the only person that says that. The CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, wants half of Facebook to buy a VR headset. Well, there's 2 billion subscribers on Facebook, so that's 1 billion people he's trying to get into a VR headset. But my vision is not VR for social media or entertainment. Medical imaging modalities allow clinicians to see deep into our bodies at ever more detail. Imagine if we could fuse a virtual reality experience with a clinical or scientific image modality. That would present a challenge. It wouldn't be simply about just taking data and putting it on a headset. VR is a place that you go, and that experience in that place needs to be designed. It needs to have an interface to make what you're looking at meaningful. I want to give you 2 examples, 2 projects that we're working on here at UNSW that's working with these groups and fusing medical imaging modalities with VR to make a new type of reality. So the first example I want to talk about was the result of a serendipitous moment. It was 2014, and I bumped into the director of the rehab unit at St. Vincent's Hospital here in Sydney. And he said to me, "John, I've got a problem with communication with my patients." And I said, "Right. I need to be able to explain what a stroke is and why a patient's had a stroke in a much more clear way. In this case, ischemic stroke, when you have a blockage in one of the narrow vessels in your brain. But being a designer, I wanted to understand, why is that important? Why is communication so critical in stroke? Well, he explained there's 3 factors. First of all, motivation. How do you motivate patients to do rehab? And they argued that you have to communicate in a much clearer way about why they had the stroke and what the rehab is actually doing. Secondly, anxiety. And actually minimizing that anxiety is really important. Could clearer explanation of what stroke is and why the stroke occurred actually lower the level of anxiety? And prevention. How do we prevent further strokes happening? After your first stroke, you're 6 times more likely to have another one. But 80% of reoccurring strokes are actually preventable. So we pose that better communication tools could actually make a difference. How do you communicate at the moment? Well, they communicate through, obviously, verbal explanation, diagrams, but we also use data. We show them the pictures. But the problem with this image and showing it to a patient is it's encoded. It's designed for a clinical radiologist to write a report. It's not necessarily designed as a prop in explanation during a consultation. So what if we could reconstruct this image into three dimensions to turn the vessel into a 3D virtual object? But actually, that's been done before. What if we could go much further? What if we could make an immersive experience? You could walk along your stroke, along the vessel to the point where the stroke occurred with your clinical professional. You go on a virtual journey in a 360 virtual reality environment. Now, that sounds like science fiction, but it's not. That's what we did on this project. The first thing we found was that the blood vessels in the brain are quite similar and you can get lost very quickly. So we actually had to design maps. We also had to bring in digital lighting to illuminate the virtual data and put red blood cells as they pass through. In actual fact, a vessel in the brain would be in complete darkness. You would be absolutely pummeled with red blood cells. You wouldn't be able to make sense of anything. So this visualization, this VR experience, is a hybrid of visual design and 3D data. And this is the patient walking up and following the clot as it's about to lodge, as the stroke is about to happen. And we're now running trials in the clinic using this prototype as a vehicle to test whether we can address these issues of rehabilitation, anxiety, and stroke reoccurrence. But we're now moving our VR work to a different level, from the macro of the stroke to the micro and the nano level. This is a journey to the center of the cell, where we take electron microscope data and we visualize it in three dimensions to support two key areas. First of all, importantly, education. This is complex science. These are difficult images to understand, even to specialists. So how do we communicate that to our students? Could we actually give scientists a new way of looking at that data? Rather than down a microscope, could we reconstruct it in 3D and then allow them to go on a virtual field trip? So we've started to do this. We've started to build up this cancer cell, this two-dimensional slice through a cell into a 3D model. So we've got the nucleus, we've got the cell membrane, we've got the late and early endosomes, we've got the mitochondria, all in a three-dimensional virtual model. Now, the way we did this had nothing to do with cell biology. It had more in common with video game tech. But when you're working in VR, you've got to think completely differently. You've got to design a place that you go, an environment that you can walk around in. You're in a physical place, and so you have to think about the interface. You have to think about how people are going to navigate through that area. And so what we did is we developed different techniques. First of all, teleporting. So when you're walking around in the headset and you see something in the distance, you can jump to that point on the cell membrane. Also maps, being able to orientate yourself in data seems like an obvious thing in the real world, but when you're in a virtual world, you have to bring some of that physical interface design in. So we built maps so that you could find your way around this complex data. Touch is another important attribute. One of the weaknesses of VR is making you feel embodied, making you feel like you're in a place. When you're given the VR headset, you've only got your visual system to tell you're in a new place, and potentially audio. But actually using controllers to feel like you can touch things was a critical part of our design. So you can reach out and touch objects. But the exciting part for me was the testing. We actually wanted to test the impact of this on students, because that's the question I always get asked. This is really nice stuff. VR is really interesting, but does it make a difference to learning? And now we're starting to gather empirical evidence to say that it does. It's a very efficient way of imparting complexity to students, much more efficient than any learning media, like a video, like a presentation, like notes or diagrams, because you're in an embodied field trip, as it were. So where do we see the future of this? Well, the first area that needs to change for this research is challenging the patient-doctor consultation. I want to change it. I want it to be a virtual interaction. I don't want it to be bound by geographic location. If we put on a headset at home, we should be able to access our clinical professional somewhere else and walk into a virtual space and see our own data. The second area that I want to tackle and change is how scientists visualize their data. I want to be able to see VR on every lab bench. You look down a microscope, you see your data, you visualize it in 3D, and then you put it and view it on a VR headset. And then you say, I want to connect to a colleague in another university overseas. I want them to see this data in 3D. And you have a multi-user VR experience where you can interact and discover together, collaboratively. There are challenges with this. It's not all rosy. One of the first areas that's challenging is the ethical component of visualizing data. How far do we go from the original start point when we're trying to get across a principle or an education component? There's technical challenge as well. Being able to realize data in real time from a headset into a VR experience is hard. And also headset distribution. We're some way off that 1 billion mark that Mark Zuckerberg suggests. However, I am quite confident these obstacles will be overcome. Given the number of researchers, corporations and people that are throwing things and resources and money at VR at the moment, I'm sure all of this will be achievable. So I want to finish with a challenge for you. Embrace decentralized immersive VR. Stop thinking of big ticket infrastructure items, queuing for that one-off premiere to Star Wars. VR will allow you to go to the Death Star and experience it for yourself. Join the revolution. Thank you.
Bugger the Death Star. I want to go on that journey to the centre of the cell. John McGee was speaking at UNSW in 2018, and his team has just made it to the finals of this year's Eureka Prize in Innovative Use of Technology. Good luck, John, and good luck to all the Eureka finalists. You're all winners. I'm Bernie Hobbs. Catch you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.